This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, America, or whatever your time zone across this beautiful planet Earth of ours. Welcome back, everybody, to the People Speak radio show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Speak show normally airs every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS radio network. You can participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests, toll-free in the USA and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the government and politics section of Pal Talk, the largest free chat program in the world, where we have our virtual radio room, the People Speak radio show, that anyone may join to participate in the show. This is a wonderful show tonight. I'm more excited than John McCain meeting back with his ISIS buddies. We're talking to a very special guest right here, Amina El Ashkar, the granddaughter and great-granddaughter of the Nakba survivors from Palestine, who has no other home than refugee camps. She's currently touring the United States talking about her experiences as a Palestinian living in the refugee camps, and more importantly, why Israel has no real right to exist. Welcome to the People Speak show, Amina El Ashkar. Assalamu alaikum.
Hi.
It's great to have your company. We'll be taking audience questions after the first half hour, but my first question to you tonight is, what inspired you to do this speaking tour and address these issues so bravely?
I actually feel like me and Akram, she's the Nakba survivor with me, we feel that we have a duty to our homeland to tell people about our story and how our people were expelled and forced to leave their land. And that's why mainly we're doing this.
Do you find that not a lot of people know about the Nakba and what's it all about? Do you find a lot of people have never even heard of that?
Well, I'm not sure, but like we found many people who know a little bit about this, but they're not sure which stance to take. We found so many people having this issue. We found people who actually know, but they didn't know about the Nakba or about the refugees in outside Palestine. And we found people who actually know. But among the Americans, most of them don't actually know.
Right, right. Well, why do you think it is that the IDF are so inhumane and so brutal? Why do you think it is? Do you think it's a part of their culture, or is it just a madness that has gripped them?
Why they are brutal? Well, it's some kind of ideology they have, or it's like the way they work. Like during 1948, they used massacres and all kind of atrocities in order to expel people and force them out. Tell the Palestinians and force them out of Palestine. So I believe that what we are seeing now, or what we're witnessing right now, is just like the continuity of what was happening during 1948.
It's a continuation of the same policy.
Is
that what you're saying?
A continuation. Yeah, exactly.
How have you been treated generally by the audiences in the United States? Have you enjoyed it there?
Sorry?
How have you been treated generally by the audiences and the people listening? How have you been treated by them?
Oh, they were really supportive. They listened to the stories we had. They were eager to know more about our issue, about the cause, the Palestinian cause. So they were so good to us. Even our hosts were, like, most of them were Americans. And many of them were Americans, actually, yeah. So they were so good.
Oh, wonderful. It's good to hear that you've been enjoying it there. Well, what has been your best time that you've found so far while speaking in America? What have you enjoyed the most?
Could you please repeat?
Oh, sorry. Yes, my apologies. What have you enjoyed the most about your time in America speaking on the tour? What have you enjoyed the most?
What did I enjoy the most, you're asking?
Yes. Yes.
Well, everything. But most of we've been like driving most of the time, so I have to say that driving was the most enjoyable thing because I get to see many parts of the country, and like many people said that we've actually seen more states than many of the Americans. So that was the most enjoyable part of the tour.
You've actually been living in a Lebanese refugee camp. What has it been like living there? What are the conditions that you've been living in?
Well, it is an overly crowded place. You know, it's the area of the camp is really small. So, and we have like 50,000 people living inside it. And as I said, it's overly crowded. One of the things that really like stick to my mind is that when it's still there's daylight outside the camp, it usually it's night inside the camp because we have like it's so overly crowded and the buildings and the houses are so close to each other. So while you're walking inside the road inside the camp, it seems like it's dark, totally dark. So I don't know if this like clarifies the image, or how is it like inside the camp?
Well, that to me sounds a lot like a prison camp. Is that a good analogy?
Well, yeah. Many people use this actually. It's like more like a prison because many people cannot, like many undocumented Palestinian refugees cannot move freely outside the camp. They can go outside, like Palestinian refugees like me can go outside the camp, but they cannot work, they have no right to work, so it's more like a prison, yeah.
Wow. What about the Lebanese government? How did they feel about the Palestinian refugees living in these Lebanese camps?
Well, the Lebanese government just wants to get rid of us as soon as possible because, you know, we've been there for 68 years, and you know, like now they have the Syrian crisis as well, so things are just getting worse for the Lebanese government. And actually, they are the ones who impose these legal and institutional barriers on the Palestinian refugees in Lebanon. So it shows how much unsatisfied they are with our presence there.
Wow, and I do believe you actually lived in the camps while Israel tried to attack Lebanon. Is that not true?
Yeah, I was there, like, during the war of 2006. I mean, yeah, I was inside the camp still. So I witnessed the whole war 31 days or 32 days of the war.
Gosh, and it's worthwhile pointing out that Israel got their butts kicked by Hezbollah. Is that not true?
Sorry?
It's worth pointing out that Israel, the IDF, actually got their butts kicked by the Lebanese. Is that not true?
Got the what?
They got their butts kicked. They got beaten by Lebanon.
Oh. Well, yeah. That's true.
I like to hear that.
Well, yeah. Like, they destroyed many buildings. They killed many people. But, yes, Lebanon won at the end.
Alhamdulillah. And in the end, Israel had to retreat.
Oh, yeah. They had. Like, we all know that Israel, they assume or they like claim that when they want something, they just get it. And we all know that things happened at the end the way Lebanon wants it, not Israel wants it. So that means that Lebanon was the one who won at the end.
Yes, yes. I've heard you say before in a previous interview that Israel has no right to exist. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? Can you explain that to the people listening, why it is that Israel is an illegal state?
Well, when you just come and establish your let's say you build a new house on at the place of someone else's house, or you just take over someone else's house, or steal someone else's house, that makes you illegal. Is that true?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, you can't just steal somebody's home and kick out the people living in. Yeah.
Exactly. So in the same sense, Israel did the same thing. They just kicked people out of their houses and their homes and their land, and they established their state, which makes it pretty much illegal. That's it's not about, we're not discussing about the existence or about anything that has to do with the Jews as religion. We're talking about Israel as a state. We have no problem with the Jews. Palestinians, we're living in Palestine for like many, many, many years, and they had no problems with Jews. Like there were Palestinian Jews, Christians, Palestinians, Muslim Palestinians, and they were all living together. No one hated anybody. But when we're talking about Israel, we're talking about an occupier that actually took over someone else's land and homeland. That's in that sense, we're talking about the existence of Israel and if it has the right to exist or not.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there is no such thing as Israel. There is only occupied Palestine. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. We don't use Israel. We only use occupied Palestine or occupied territories. We don't use IDF. We use IOF, Israeli Occupying Forces.
Right, right. Have you
not
met any...
Sorry,
go ahead.
I'm not Israeli Defense Forces. We don't use that term.
Right, right. In your time in America, have you met any Israelis or Jewish people who actually support your cause?
I met many Jews who supported the Israeli, the Palestinian cause, and they were like, actually, they were, some of them were actually the organizers of our event. So yeah.
Wow. And how did you make it to the United States? Can you tell me what you went through to make it there, how it was all organized for you?
Oh, yeah, it was like, we had to go through many things because it was, it's pretty much difficult for a Palestinian holding a travel document, Palestinian refugee holding a travel document to travel. And it was like everybody just said that I'm pretty lucky to have it because many people like really want it. They never get it, the U.S. visa, I mean. So I had to apply the first time with someone else. She's my friend, and she was supposed to come on the tour with me. So we applied, both of us, at the first time. But both of us were denied because they said we had no travel history. And afraid that we might misuse the U.S. visa.
Wow. But you're actually traveling on a Palestinian passport, is that right?
No, travel document. We have no passports. We have travel documents.
Oh, I see. Right. There's no... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So, yeah, the second time we went, my friend and I, and an Akram. We went all together to the embassy, and we applied. So Imakram got the visa because she's 86 years old, obviously, so she got it right away. But they had to do, like, an interview for, like, an hour with us. And at the end, they gave me the visa. They did not give my friend because, and they said, they told me, you cannot, like, so I told them why didn't you give her the visa? We need to go. We need to be both of us on this tour, or to go to the United States. So she said, they said, you don't have to argue. You can't argue because we just gave you the visa and we don't really feel that you deserve it. Well, we're just giving it to you because you're going with the 86-year-old lady.
Right, right. What about the conditions that you see around you, where you are? Are they sustainable? Can you live in this kind of conditions forever, or is it soul destroying? How do you feel about living there in these refugee camps?
Well, I believe that. I don't want to just show. No, I want to show the Palestinian refugees as heroes for surviving 68 years in these refugee camps. Because no one on this earth can possibly survive in these camps because they lack all kind of life conditions. They have
they lack any basic human thing.
Yeah, exactly. So many people the houses. I don't know. There are no green spaces in the camp. Kids, I'm just going to give you this small example. Kids, they don't have the spaces to play in. They go and play at the cemetery. They play football there. So this is a very, I think this is a very ugly example of how the Palestinians, it's not like because they want to go and play there. No, it's because they have no other place to play in. And, so many houses don't ever see the sunlight in the camp. We have no power, no electricity. We even don't have, cell phone reception, which is funny. So, yeah.
Well, what about the people who don't get it, who say, well, why don't you just go back to Palestine? I mean, what have you got to say to them, the people who just don't get it?
Well, we've been asking, or we've been telling the whole world that we want to go back to Palestine. We don't want to stay living in the refugee camps our whole life, but we're not allowed to because.
All right, it seems like we've just lost the connection there. Are you still with us, Amina?
Yes.
Okay, well, we've just lost it. You're trying to say, I believe, that you're actually not allowed to go back to Palestine. Is that true?
Yes, we're not allowed to go back to Palestine because some other group of people keep that plan. These group of people are usually...
All right. Can you tell me, have you ever actually been to Palestine yourself?
Oh, no, we're not allowed. It's a dream. It's actually a dream. We go every year during the memory of the Nakba, May 15th, we go to the border. It's the furthest we can go. It's 2 hours away from where we live. In the south, from Beirut to the south, this is the border, the closest point to Palestine. That's where we get to, only see Palestine, or as we say, to smell the air of Palestine. So that's all that we get. We cannot go into Palestine.
Wow. Well, what about living in the camps? Do you get much news about what's happening in Gaza and the West Bank? Do you get many news?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
We know everything about what. Yeah, we have news. We have internet inside the camp, so we don't have electricity 24 hours, we get it 6 hours a day or 4 hours a day, and then we can see the news and know what is actually happening in Gaza and in the West Bank and in the occupied territory.
Wow, you're saying out of the 24 hours of every day, you only get 6 hours of electricity a day?
Yeah.
Gosh.
That's the average. In August or July and August and in September, we don't have, we have it for two hours.
Goodness me. What about support? Is there anyone out there that is supporting your cause to get you back to Palestine? Is anyone making a noise about this, or is this the whole reason that you've come to the United States?
Well, this is the whole reason behind coming to the United States. We have many people supporting us. But talking about politics and about official level, no one is actually supporting the Palestinian cause or the cause of refugees. And that's why we came here, to try to talk to the people, to press as much as we can about the Palestinian cause and the refugees, so that they can in some way affect or influence the policy in the United States.
Right, right, to try and get some more public support.
Exactly.
If you could go back to Palestine for one day, where would you go and visit first? Where would be the first place you would visit?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm going to spend the whole day just crying. One day is not enough. because I have this all the time thinking about it. Like, if I go or if I went there, what would I do, or where would I go? I just don't know. But I think that the first place that I would go to is Jerusalem and to the Dome of the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The Al-Aqsa Mosque.
I'm going to just be crying. Yes.
Inshallah, you will make it there one day. I'm sure you will.
I'm sure too.
What has been the best experience in the United States, apart from seeing the landscapes and everything? What has been the most amazing thing that you've seen or experienced while there?
Well, one of the experiences that I won't forget was what happened in Jackson, Mississippi. That was a place that when I entered, it was a very poor place. Okay, it was so different than all the other states that we've been to, and people were just like, they were poor, and even the places there were like, they actually reminded me of the camp, and the people there were just like, I was able to see the images of the people, the refugees back there, and I was really amazed that these people, and they go through many things, and they have to suffer so much, and yet they support the Palestinian cause, and they believe in the Palestinian cause, and that we are right, and we have the right to go back to our land, and they actually do not people living there, especially talking about African Americans. They don't see themselves as supporters only. They see themselves as they are fighting with us, the same enemy. That's what they said. So that was one of the most interesting experiences through my traveling tour. Yep.
So I guess Jackson, Mississippi was a different picture of the United States altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Was pretty different. Like, different place, different people.
Right, right. I believe there was some controversy at one of the talking tours that you did with Alison Weir, that they wanted to not allow her to talk. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I know she was not trying to talk. She was only attending the event. Not that she's going to talk, but they did not want her to be there. That was that.
And why was that? Why did they not want her to be there? She's a very good vocal supporter of Palestine and the Palestinian cause. Why was she disallowed to be there?
Well, they said that some of the audience might be intimidated by her presence, and they didn't want her to be there. So I actually asked the same question. I said that she's a good supporter for the Palestinian cause, and I didn't understand why they didn't want her there. So that they said that she is accused to be anti-Semite, and because she says that Israel has no right to exist.
But it's true, though. Israel doesn't have any right to exist. It is just an occupying force that is brutalizing
legally,
and terrorizing.
Yeah. Legally, it does not have the right to exist. But it seems like some people are just too afraid to talk about it. So it exists in international law. So
in your mind and your visit there to the United States, do you see that the Zionists are running, the same Zionists who run Israel are running the United States? Do you see that?
Well, I don't know about this, but I can tell you what happened when we were in a visit. One of the chief staffs of the congressmen, we were in Washington, D.C., and we were talking about this point about the support, the U.S. support for Israel, and we were. So he was like, "So what do you guys want?" So he said, "We told him that you have to stop supporting Israel financially." So he said, "Even if we stop the U.S. support for Israel, it is going to be one of the most strongest military states or countries in the Middle East for decades." So we said, like, okay, so the United States does not have or does not need to support it anymore. So, one of us just said, like, that you cannot stop supporting the United States, Israel, because it has a great influence on the U.S. policy. So he said, no, that's not true. That was his first answer. And then, after a while, we were talking, we just continued our discussion, and at the end he said, well, when they have the APAC conference, like, we have like 5,000 of them coming and attending this conference, whereas you guys are just 5, which means they actually have an influence on the on the U.S. policy.
Absolutely. And Alison Weir wrote a very, very good book called, what's the name of the book? But the book shows that Israel have influenced the United States for many, many years, and they're embedded in the USA politics. That's completely wrong. Don't you agree?
Completely wrong? You mean to have that Israel has on the United States?
To have that much power, yes, to have that much power and influence over the United States. Alison Weir's book is called Against Our Better Judgment, and it points out all these secret groups that have been infiltrated into the United States, if Americans knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that book, but I didn't get the chance to read it yet. Anyway, but, well, I believe that it is wrong for any state to have any kind of influence on any other state. So what if we're talking about an illegal state having an influence on the United States?
Do you see the one day that is Israel will give back the land to the Palestinians? Do you see that happening ever?
I don't know. But talking about just like Israel giving back or the Palestinians their right, just like that, is some kind of something impossible. But I believe that it's all people who believe in this cause, if they just unite together against Israel and against the supporter of Israel, we would reach this point someday.
Yeah, inshallah. Well, you know, every impossible journey always starts off with the first step, and I believe you're making a big step by doing what you're doing.
Yeah, this is true.
Amen. Well, this is the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, talking with special guest Amina El Ashkar, live on Internet Radio. And we'll be right back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
You're listening to BBS Radio, If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, PalTalk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 PalTalk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining PalTalk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
You're listening to the People Speak radio show, coming to you live across America and across the world on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, and we're back with our very special guest tonight, Amina El Ashkar. I encourage all the listeners to find out more about her online and in her incredible story. In this half hour, you can call in with your own questions on 1-888-429-5471. Welcome back there, Amina, ma'am. Welcome back there.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
We have a question here from one of the guest audience. Winston Smith in Hawaii wants to ask, do you think that maybe the Zionists, this is the Zionists now, not Israelis, not Jews, but do you think the Zionists are a completely different species?
I completely this is a funny question. Completely different species. I don't know. I actually don't know, but what I know is that these people just, like, managed somehow to occupy our land, to kick us out, and to go and, like, get all the people, like, people they want to go and live, and they're not allowing us to go. Maybe, yes, they are disgusting.
Oh, wow, okay, maybe they are. We don't know. Yeah, so that's a fair answer. How important is it for people to find out more about Palestine? Because it seems to be some people just aren't interested. Do you think it should be something that they're taught in school and something that people should find out more about?
Oh, yeah. It might be, like, this is one of the problems or the conflict that the whole world, the whole wild world, has something to do with. All the countries, all the Western governments has something to do with the Palestinian cause and the Palestinian issue, and it must be taught. Like, people have to know more and more about this. Like, they must be taught about it in schools, in universities, and everywhere. I mean, it's, you know what, like, we went to the Holocaust Museum in D.C., and, you know, all the things that we saw, all the events, all what happened to the Jews in Europe back then, it's the same thing that is happening to us right now. So why not teaching people about this? I mean, why they're actually repeating the same historic events that happened. Now it's live. They get to show their students what happened to the Jews during the Holocaust, and when they show them what is happening to the Palestinians.
So you think there should be a Palestine Memorial Museum as well?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we should. Like, we have to do something like that.
Well, you know, I'm calling to you live from Western Australia, from Perth, Western Australia, one of the most isolated capital cities in the world. And when we have a rally or a protest to support Palestine, there are simply 4,000 to 5,000 people that march down the streets because people know about this, and the people who care about other people, they get out there in numbers and start marching. And I believe that scares the government because they are strictly Israeli supporters. Do you see that much has changed in the last 5 to 10 years?
Well, yeah, because of the mainstream media, the internet, these things actually had much influence on how much people are now starting to know and how they're actually knowing. You know, before that, people had only the TV channels and the news, and they couldn't know more. But now they can easily surf the internet and know what is happening and how is it happening. So I believe, yes, we have witnessed many changes during the 10 or 5 years.
What is the biggest danger facing the Palestinian refugees that are living in Lebanon? What is their biggest danger, do you think?
The inability to continue their education. Because, you know, Palestinians, one of their main goals in life is that they have to continue their education. And they have to, like study. But now, because of we have poor educational system, because it is governed or administered by the UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Work Agency. Many refugees are not getting the chance to continue their education. And not continuing education means having ignorant people, and ignorant people means weak people. So this is one of the biggest problems we're facing in the refugee camp.
Right, right. We have a question from Carol in Western Australia. Do you see that there is a big, massive, or do you see there is an awakening amongst the American people to Palestine's issues?
I can't say it is a massive awakening. I think, no, it's not actually, but we're witnessing something good. People are want to know. They're looking. Many people are just want to know the truth, and this is good, but I cannot describe it as a massive awakening.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Maybe we're going to get that, have that maybe in like the coming 5 years or so, but not right now.
Have you had many people protest against you at your talks?
No, we just had like 5 people protesting against us. I think it was Colombia. He was someone who he described himself as a Zionist, and he was against our presence and against the tour and against events. So he had like some couple of people. He gathered like I think 5 to protest our presence, and these were the only ones still now so far.
I certainly hope that this hasn't happened, but have you been threatened at all while you've been on the tour?
Threatened? No, not really. People were so friendly, and no one actually threatened us.
Right. Do you feel safe living in the Lebanese camps that you're living in with the other Palestinian refugees?
Hey, actually, safe is not a word that I could use. Refugee camps.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? You're cutting out there. Can you repeat that?
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm saying that word safe is not a word that I would use with the refugee camp or living in refugee camps, especially in Lebanon, because you know the security conditions in Lebanon are already bad, and inside the camps we have like poor when everything is poured inside the camp when it comes to infrastructure, the electricity, water. We had the past 2 years, 15 persons died because of electricity wires and such things. So it's not actually safe.
Right, right. And how many people are living in the camp that you live in?
50,000.
50,000?
Mm-hmm, minus one, which is me, because I'm in the United States.
I see. Are there other camps in Lebanon similar to the camp?
There are 12 other camps. Oh, yeah, but I have to mention that 25,000 are Palestinian refugees, and the other 25,000 are Syrian refugees. They came after the Syrian crisis.
Gosh. So you get a lot of news about what's happening in Syria at the moment?
Well, we're living in it. You know, we have lots of bombs in Lebanon next to the camp, so close to the camp. So that's part of not being safe as well. Before just coming here, we had a bomb, and three refugees, Palestinian refugees, were killed in that bomb. So they're not safe outside the camp, and they're not safe inside the camp.
Gosh, do you actually see the Israeli warplanes and drones going overhead?
Oh yeah, we saw the rockets. I saw the everything. I saw them shelling on the airport. I saw them shelling on the buildings surrounding the camp. I saw everything. We used to count the rockets every night. We used actually to count them. Yeah.
Good God.
I saw on the balcony of my house, and I was looking to the side that is outside the camp, and I was just saw a big rocket falling on a building, and it just disappeared. That was really shocking.
That must be very, very scary for you.
Yeah, it was. I was I was around 13 years old back then.
Uh-huh. And how do the Israelis treat or think about the Palestinian refugees? Do they just ignore that you even exist?
I think yes. They're just ignoring their existence. They don't want, if you have a problem that you don't want to solve, you just ignore it. And that's what exactly what the Israelis are doing or trying to do. Just ignoring them, not talking about them. When they even talk about the refugees, they don't even talk about us. They talk about the refugees that are inside the West Bank and in Gaza. They don't talk about the Palestinian refugees outside in the neighboring countries, like in Jordan and Syria and Lebanon. So, yes, they are ignoring.
And, of course, I do have to mention those living in exile in countries like Canada, in Australia, in the UK. They're all over the world. There's 6 million Palestinians that have been removed from their house. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a shocking number, the 6 million number. Is that not coincidental that we're talking about that number?
Isn't that what?
Coincidental.
Oh, I didn't quite understand that.
Well, that's okay. Do you feel that the Holocaust is part of the reason why Israel are behaving the way they are?
What do you mean, they are behaving the way they are? I mean, they used it in order to go, to occupy Palestine. But
that's right. They use it as an excuse to behave the way they're behaving.
It makes no sense. when we went to the museum, they had a slogan that said, "Never again." And it was funny because they're doing exactly the same thing again and again and again in Palestine, and the refugees outside Palestine.
Right. So it's totally, not ironic, but it's hypocritical that they are actually doing that again.
Yeah, that's the exact word that I would choose.
Gosh. What are you going to take back with you to the refugee camp when you return there? Are you going to take anything back with you from America?
Oh, yeah, I have, like, lots of souvenirs and things from my friends and my siblings. And, like, mostly silly things, just, like, jewelry and some things like that.
Right. Mike in California would like to know, have you visited Disneyland in your time there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just, like, went there for 2 hours because we had an event, and we actually arrived at the event, like, late, 40 minutes late. But it was nice, 2 hours, so.
Mm-hmm. Are you aware of the companies that fund Israel and the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, BDS movement? Are you aware of that?
Yeah, of course. We have a BDS movement in Lebanon, actually. And they are pretty active somehow.
And is that getting the information out about which companies are supporting Israel?
Sorry?
The BDS movement in Lebanon, is that actually educating people which companies are supporting Israel?
Yeah, they try as much as they can, but, you know, in Lebanon it's a little bit complicated because people are not talking about the Lebanese. They're not really, you know, the people who are working in this or working on this BDS movement in Lebanon are Lebanese, but they are facing hard times to spread the awareness about this in Lebanon or among the Lebanese people because they're not so into these stuff, unfortunately. But they try as much as they can.
Do you get much support from the Lebanese people, being a Palestinian living in their land? Do you get much support from the average Lebanese person?
That would be a critical question because the Lebanese, most of the Lebanese, I'm not going to say all the Lebanese, many of the Lebanese do see us as intruders and that we're just living in Lebanon and we've been living there for the past 6-8 years. So many of them just see us as intruders. And that's because of lack of education, and they don't know about what actually happened with the Palestinians. So it's not pretty much as you said. We don't have like that much, but we have a good number of Lebanese who support the Palestinian cause.
Of course.
But we have other people who would just want to get rid of us.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's sad. How about Hezbollah, the militia there, or the army in Lebanon? Do they support the Palestinian cause generally?
Well, part of the Hezbollah agenda or ideology is fighting Israel and because it is something illegal. And it has oppressed the Palestinian people for many, many years. So we can say that in a sense, Hezbollah actually supports the Palestinians or the Palestinian cause for whatever agenda or anything they have. But they support the Palestinians, actually.
So generally they do, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Do you ever think to yourself that you'd like to live in Lebanon, or is that just a temporary home for you? Do you see it as temporary?
Oh, yeah. It's a temporary home. It's not home, actually. It's just a temporary place. It's a camp. That's why we still use the camp, though we don't have actually tents. We still use the word camp because it's something temporary, and we believe that we're going to go back home.
Mm-hmm. Do you have much of the history of Palestine there in the camps with you? Did you talk about this and you get all the stories from the people and the generations that have lived in these places?
Well, yeah. Most of the things we know that, like, the young youth know are what we get from the elderly and what they tell us. So pretty much, yeah, that's how we get how we get to know our history.
Right. Right. Have you heard the news? Just recently, Avigdor Lieberman has been promoted to the defense minister.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? Hello?
Yeah, actually, we have the position.
I'm sorry, Amina, could you just try that again? We can't actually hear you. Can you just try that answer again?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I was saying that whoever just takes this position, it's not going to be a great difference for the Palestinians because they're all the same. They all have the same agenda. They all have the same ideology. They all have the same ideas. So it's not going to be quite different than all the other people who were before him.
So there's only ever going to be radicals and right-wing fanatics and nutcases in the Israeli government. You believe that?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. And you don't see much hope on the horizon for that changing in Israel at all?
I don't think so, no. Because, you know, Israel is a state that was founded or established on the idea of fear. And when you, like, they always tell their people that someone is targeting us as Israelis, or someone wants to attack us, or someone wants to kill us, someone wants to get rid of us. So they just use this factor, the fear factor, in order to have power. And in order to show that they are in danger, they have to show that they have power to face this danger. So I don't believe that there's going to be any change in the Israeli state, at least like soon.
Right, right. So you're saying by keeping the people of Israel living in fear, they will constantly be at war and constantly be killing Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
But the big difference I see between Palestine and Israel is that Palestine doesn't have an army, it doesn't have a navy, it doesn't have an air force. All they have is the things that are around them, the daily things that they are allowed to have, which is not much at all. Isn't that the big difference? We're not talking about a war here, we're talking about outright genocide.
Exactly. And with all their military arsenal and all these weapons they have, after 68 years, they were not able to actually get rid of the Palestinians, which tells so much about the Palestinians. And
alhamdulillah.
Although, as you were saying, the Palestinians have nothing, actually.
And they are the bravest people in the world, I do believe.
I believe that, too.
Amen. Amen. So what's your plans that you've got coming up to the near future? What have you got planned after your Nakba tour? Do you plan to do other tours in other places, maybe the European?
Well, yeah, we actually started to talk about a new tour next year. We don't have, of course, any details from now, but we're planning to do another tour next year, inshallah, because we believe that this one was a great success. So, and the organizers were so satisfied. So we think they're going to do it next year, inshallah.
Well, I'd love to see that. That's for sure. Do you have something to say? If you could stand up and talk to all the people in all the world, in Australia, in America, what would you tell them? What's the number one message that you want to get across?
I want all the people to look to the Palestinians as human beings. We're not talking, we're not discussing politics, we're not discussing any kind of belief or anything like that, or anything, any religious matters. We're only talking about people, human beings who are being oppressed, who are being oppressed, or have been oppressed since for the past 6-8 years, and they might continue to be oppressed for, God knows how much more time. So I just want people to look to the Palestinians as human beings and not as
a political
agenda or anything like that. So this is it.
So in essence, it's not a religious debate, it's not a political debate, it's a debate about basic human rights.
Exactly.
Wow. One last question, ma'am. Do you support the stop funding of Israel? I guess that's a silly question.
Well, yeah. Of course we do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I certainly would love to have you on the show another time. Maybe we get a better connection so we can hear you a bit better. But thank you so much for being being on the show today.
Thank you for having me and allowing all the people who listen to your show to listen to our story.
Fantastic. Where is your next speaking event? Where is that going to be?
It's going to be in Seattle.
Awesome. So anybody listening, they can go down to whereabouts in Seattle? Will they see you?
Sorry?
Whereabouts in Seattle? Will they see you?
Oh, they can go to freepalestinemovement.org, and they have the calendar of all the events, upcoming events, and they can see where they're going to be and at what time, because really, I don't have any idea about that. You know, I can't memorize all the times and places, so they can go sure. to freepalestinemovement.org and see that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Amina, ma'am.
Thank you.
Wonderful. You've been listening to the People Speak Show with special guest Amina El Ashkar. I'd like to thank her and wish her God's blessings during her time in the USA and, of course, for the future. Stay tuned for special guests Carlos Latouf and Chris Bolin coming soon on the People Speak Show. Big thanks go out to the producers, Mike, Doug, and Donald, and to all my friends throughout the world, and to all the guys who have given me so much support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune in to my own channel called Stop Funding Israel. But for me for now, take care, and bye until next time.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the sea, by the relief of as summer people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest, to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.